Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Today, I'm absolutely pumped to be joined by two of my favorite entrepreneurs, Emma and Carla Pappas, the Merrymaker Sisters. These ladies are just super cool when it comes to food, but on top of that, they're super cool when it comes to business as well. And today, we're going to be diving right into all things food, all things business, and really starting to understand a little bit about their journey that's helped them succeed on a massive scale. Because one of the premises of our show is looking at other businesses, seeing what they do really well, and how we can adapt that for our own purposes. So, Emma and Carla, thank you so much for coming on our show. How are you?
We're so good. Thank you so much for having us, Jesse. We're pumped to be here.
Yeah, super excited.
Yeah, well, I was just saying to you guys a moment ago, you're in the Gold Coast in Queensland and I'm in Canberra. I come from Queensland, now live in Canberra. You come from Canberra, now live in the Queensland. It feels like we've done this whole role reversal thing.
Well, it's a good move for us because we love the sunshine.
Yeah. Well, I love both places. They're both really wonderful. And so it's going to be great to have a bit of a chat today. But I caught up with you guys at a podcasting event late last year. And I was very pleased to see you guys on stage because that was one of the reasons why I attended the event. And what struck me about you guys is you're just you, right? There's no fakeness, there's no pretense. You guys are authentically you. You seem to have big hearts, but behind that big heart, there's a very smart commercial brain operating in each of you there. And I'm really curious to ask you, how did you find your way into the world of entrepreneurship?
Oh my gosh, what a question.
I know.
I was born in Yen.
Do you know what I think it was? Like where it really all started was I think we got to different points in our lives where we were very unhappy. I mean, we were working in these jobs in Canberra, public servants, kind of like starting to question, is this what life is about? I mean, how old were you? We were early 20s. And we just started to question it because we were living these lives just going through the motions, like going to the gym, eating the same food every day, hanging out with people who also hate their jobs. And it just was like this toxic kind of stage. And then we kind of just started like eating a different way and changing our lifestyle. And we'd come from like a, you know, this massive history of like body image issues and obsessive dieting and kind of like eating disorders, like this huge history. Then we found a new way of living. We started sharing it and we just found this passion for it. And it was kind of like not a matter of like, what should we do with it? It was kind of like, we have to do something with this. Like our hearts came alive. And it was like this spark. It was just like, oh, like we refound the magic in life that, you know, when you're a kid, you just see it everywhere. And then you kind of like forget about it. Mm-hmm. But this came back to us. And it was just like that burning desire, wasn't it? It was just like, we have to do this.
Yeah. And we didn't know like how we were going to do it or is this even possible? Like we had no idea because we didn't even know what it was going to look like when we first began. It just started with a blog and an Instagram page. And then, you know, we started attending events and looking at the world of internet because at that, like back then it was like the internet is for checking movie times, the weather, and just like, you know, for Googling questions, like making sure that, you know, you were right in that argument. And so like that's what we thought it was for. But then we met all these other bloggers and online businesses and we were like, oh my gosh, like literally if you have an idea, you can make it happen. And it's a Google search away. So Google has helped us still to this day solve many problems with our business. We use it all the time. And I think that's how we fell into entrepreneurship. It was we found this passion. We loved sharing this message with people and people loved hearing it. And so we're like, okay, we've got to give it to the people. And it brings us so much joy. It brings other people so much joy. So why wouldn't we? So that was kind of how we fell into it. And we always, even from a very young age, we always knew we wanted to do something together. Mm. So I think the fact that we found this passion together was even a bigger sign of like, this is probably, you know, where we're supposed to be going.
Yeah, look, there's so many wonderful little threads that I'd love to pick up and pull on those threads and unravel them a little bit, because you said you're working in Canberra as a public servant, and obviously you found a new way of living. You discovered all these wonderful benefits that new way of living was having for you guys. But it must have taken a leap of faith to still say, you know what, because we all know the public service job is a fairly secure kind of environment, to take that leap of faith, to leave that security behind and take the plunge. What was that like for you guys?
Oh, my gosh. It was
like the best day ever. But, you know, it took like a bit of warming. Like I remember like for at least a year we'd go in, because we worked in the same bloody department, like in the same area, like next to each other.
Of course, cubicles, like, kind of thing.
Yeah. And like every day we'd go into work and you'd be like, this is the last, insert today's date, we're going to be working in a job we don't like. So, you know, we kind of, I guess we visualized it in a way. So we were like easing into it, warming up to it. And then we actually decided we needed to go in and just say we need a year without pay. A leave without pay. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And then our managers just flat out said no. And then 5 minutes later, we looked at each other and we're like, stuff this. Like, we can't be here. Let's email, resign. Boom. We like sent it at exactly the same time and we like danced out.
Yeah. Well, we just thought like we were asking for a year without pay just to please our parents. So our parents
to
were
have
like
that security.
To have that security and that safety blanket or the safety net underneath us in just in case it didn't work out. And we were just like, you
that's
know
such
what?
A
like,
mom and dad thing to say.
I know.
That,
right? And like in a way we were like, yeah, that's really smart. Like, yeah, we should definitely do that, mom and dad. We'll do it. And then we thought to ourselves, like, are we actually going to go back? Imagine having a year not here. How could we possibly go back to a job that we hated after doing something that we loved for a whole entire year? We kind of just thought, you know what, I would prefer to work in a cafe than do anything yeah. like that. So we knew that there was always option B. If it didn't work, like there's, we can make money some other way. Yeah. We can pay the mortgage some other way. But we've got to take a bet on ourselves. We've got to take the risk, because what if it could work? We were like, what is the best that can happen? That was the belief we have back then. We still have that yeah. belief. Now we do a little bit of risk management, like a little bit more probably, because we look back on that day and we're like, what the hell were we thinking? But we just had this self-belief that we were going to make it work. And 100% hands down, that is the most important thing that has stayed with us from the beginning and still to this day, is that we believe in what we do. And no matter what, we're going to make it work. Even if we have setbacks, even if we fail, and fail is like in inverted commas, at some project, we're still going to make it work. It's just pointing us in another direction. Mm-hmm. And I think that is like, that is the reason why we've yeah. been able to do what we do. Just
and
because
I think,
we believe in it.
And that was also how we quit. And I think also we realized that the bigger risk really was to get into our 50s and still be in a job that we hate. Like, because we are like, life is not infinite. We don't have an infinite amount of days on this planet. And right now, like, I reflect on society and like, I know there are people so unhappy in their jobs. And to me, that's insanity, because life is not infinite. We are going to die. And that's the truth of our lives.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know, like keeping that in the back of our mind, it just makes everything that actually is non-important, it just washes it away and like makes all the actual really important stuff in life be brighter, and like, and we can focus on it more and put more energy towards it.
And the thing is, like, we're so grateful for those jobs, because it showed us what we didn't want in life, and it showed us we were able to meet people who were in their 50s and their 60s who were unhappy and had been unhappy for 40 years. And it was like, we do not want that. We do not want that for ourselves. I don't want it. I do not want to inspire people around me to be like that. So that was kind of why we're like, we've just got to go and bet on ourselves, give ourselves a shot, and who knows what could happen. And we haven't looked back a day since then.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And again, you know, the thing that I think is really wonderful for anyone listening, and something that you guys perhaps did intuitively, was to look at the people in your particular role who might be 10, 20, 30 years down the path from you and go, is this really the life I want? Because that's my future staring at me right there. And if that's attractive, great. But if it's not, then do something different. And as you guys have pointed out, the worst case scenario was not really that scary. You could have gone and earned money in a different way. Maybe it wasn't going back to that job that your parents might have wanted you to keep up your sleeve just in case, but it was going to be fine.
And I think a lot of that is, it comes from your ego, doesn't it? You don't want to like quit your job and like bet on yourself and then fail. And then what will everyone think of me? Blah, 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 blah. And it's actually, who actually cares?
Yeah. And actually those people probably aren't thinking anything. We're just making it up in our heads. Yeah. Like, cause it's just this fear that, oh my gosh, they're going to think.
Judgment.
I'm going to be judged.
And people are too busy to think about us, right?
Exactly.
Like, we're all worried about our own lives.
Oh, but do you know what? Or we're also worried about what people think of us. How ridiculous is it? Like, it's a waste of energy. Oh,
yeah.
Well, the good thing for you guys is you actually resigned and danced out together. I got shown the door and then slunk out, and that's how I started my entrepreneurial journey. It became a necessity. I was too scared to leave. I honestly was. I was too scared to leave. And then someone made that decision for me, and it was the kindest thing that they ever did, really. I at the time, it hurt like hell, of course.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was good. I wanted to ask you about working together. Because you guys are obviously really tight, you're really close, almost peas in a pod, I'd say. But for some people working in a business that also has a personal relationship component to it, what do you think are the elements that have allowed you to do that really well? Because there's got to be some moments, I would imagine, where there's disagreement or a different perspective. And how do you go about resolving those different parts of your business?
Yeah, I mean, we've always said like that we're so grateful for each other to be on this journey, because without each other, it wouldn't be what it is. So we always, in those moments, we try and come back to that and that, like, actually, no, I'm really grateful for you, even though you're really annoying me. but we have different strengths and weaknesses, which I think is a really important thing. I'm more that type A personality, like super organized, like this is how we're going to get it done and bang, bang, bang. Emma, you do this, I'll do this, let's do it. Whereas Emma is more the creative type, and she's big picture. She's like, this is what I see. I see us doing this, but I'm not sure how we're going to get there, but I know this is what it's going to look like. And so then I'll break it down. So I think we've been really blessed in that we were born different humans and different brains. So like we get very good at different things.
It definitely would not work if you had two types. A personality.
All the others would just be like floozing around.
No one
around.
Would do
Nothing
anything.
Would get done.
I'd be like looking at
It'd
the
It'd be a great fun time though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it would be really fun.
Yes, I do have a lot of fun.
And then like I have a lot of fun too.
When we do have disagreements, which we do, we have disagreements not just about like the business, but of course there's personal disagreements as well, because we have that sister relationship. We just try and be super open with communication.
And we realize that the faster we get through it, the faster we move through it, the better. So it's kind of like, okay, there's a disagreement. We need to talk about this. We need to be open about this. What's up, blah, 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 blah. Don't hold on to grudges.
Yes.
Forgive fast and move through it, because it actually is not serving anyone keeping this grudge and keeping this kind of resentment inside.
Yeah.
So it's like it put it all out and then – get over it.
And don't take it personally.
Yeah.
So, like, this is such a big lesson for us. If Em's having a bad day, it's not about me. If I'm having a bad day, it's not about Emma. And there was definitely a stage where we would take everything personally, where Emma might, like, snap or I might snap and I'm like, God, like, why is she being mean to me? And it's all about me.
It's like, actually, I probably just had PMS.
Or maybe something like, she's just sad about something and it's not about me. So I think that was a good lesson.
Yeah.
And that's a good lesson just in life. Like, don't take things personally. Anything anyone else does, it's all their own stuff. And I think that was such a big lesson.
Yeah. And I think another thing was also recognizing that you need to kind of nurture the relationships differently. So you need to nurture the business relationship. You need to nurture the whatever personal relationship. You need to kind of define the differences. Mm. So, you know, we started to make sure we did, you know, what we would have done if we didn't have a business. Fun sister hangout time.
Yeah.
It wasn't always about the business.
And we try so hard not to start talking about the business. Like, we always normally do end up talking about the business, but
we're better
try.
Now.
Yeah,
we're much better now. And I think that's why it's important to have hobbies and, like, the stuff you love outside of your business, because I think it's great to have, like, this healthy obsession with it. I think every entrepreneur needs that to make it successful.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be focused and your energy needs to be on it. But I think it's really important to have other external interests. And I think we kind of got lost in the obsession for a little while, but then we started doing our own things and doing other things together.
Yeah.
And that really helped our business relationship and sister relationship just I don't know, strengthen every day.
Yeah, it's definitely like, all about open communication, forgiving fast, and then moving on.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it's really important for anyone who's in any relationship, really. It could be a work relationship, personal relationship, whether together at work or not. But that forgiving fast thing, I think, is really important, isn't it? Because otherwise, holding onto a grudge just tends to weigh people down, and it just makes it icky, yuck, and horrible.
And you think about it, like, it's going to be all right. Like, you know, and it's going to pass. And so, like, why not make it pass faster?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine has this saying that if you're going through hell, don't stop. And I think it's so true. You just get through it and keep going.
So good. I like that. I
just wanted to also ask you a little bit about your business journey, because your rise in the social media space probably feels like a long time for you, because it's like that 20-year overnight success thing. I know you guys have been working really hard at it, and it's been a very conscious, deliberate effort. But for those of us on the outside, it's all of a sudden you hear the Merrymaker Sisters one day, and then the next week you hear nothing but the Merrymaker Sisters. And it's kind of, you're ever present, you're kind of everywhere. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that journey, because obviously there's been some things that have worked incredibly well for you, and I want to ask you about that in a second. But before I get to the things that have worked really well for you, I want to ask you, what have the boo-boos been? What mistakes do you reckon you've made along the way?
Oh, so many mistakes.
So many.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And I think it's kind of like now you just are prepared for stuff to go wrong, but you have this knowing. Like, we have this knowing that if something blows up terribly in our face, we know it's just leading us to the next good thing. Like, you just, it's just part of it. We've made mistakes in time frames, you know, like we did our book. Like, that was probably the biggest boo-boo, like where We
overpromised.
We overpromised and under-delivered, which is the biggest no-no in business.
Don't do that, ever.
But, yeah, so we had many, many unhappy customers who had given us their money, and they were expecting their book, their product, in October, and we did not have it until
January,
yes. And it was all it was really dumb, because we kind of just made up this time frame in our heads without asking anyone, you know, not the printers, not the shippers. What the hell? What were we thinking?
We were just like, 2 months will do.
What the hell?
So, like, that was a big mistake, and I think, and a massive lesson to, you know, check in with the other third parties who are involved. Like, let's get the time frames right. So we're much better at that now.
And it seems like such a dar moment, but, like, if we can make that mistake, other people can make that mistake.
But it's only dar in hindsight. Right, because if you knew you were going to be making a dart decision, you wouldn't make it. Everyone kind of goes, oh, it all seemed fine at the time. Okay, so the big thing there is be careful not to overpromise and underdeliver. And the book was the example. What other boo-boos do you reckon you've made along the way?
One that's a really interesting one is collaboration
with
other human beings. So we're very open people. Like, we love everybody. Like, when we meet someone, we're like, yes, like, we understand what you're about, and we want you to be part of this. We want to be part of what you're doing and things like that. Like, but we're big believers in other people. Like, as soon as we hear someone passionate about something, we're like, yes, love it. But we've been burned a few times. And I think that this, again, comes down to intuition, in that when we first did meet these couple of people, we knew that it probably wasn't the right relationship and that we should be a little bit weary, but we got, you know, carried away with the things that they were saying, the things that they were promising. And we probably let ego get in the way there, in that, oh, we could see something happening faster than what we thought it was going to happen. Mm. So, yeah, let's definitely collaborate and let's definitely do that. And then it just didn't end up being very good for our own brand, as well as how we felt just within as individuals. It didn't feel right, didn't feel aligned. So I think that was a huge lesson. And now we treat our business like it is sacred, and it is sacred. And I think that we should all 100% treat our businesses this way, and that, like, keep it safe. You can't let everyone in on it. And I think that was a huge lesson. Yeah. And we're very careful about it now. And we talk out everything. This was something, another big lesson, in that we would feel something wasn't right and we wouldn't express it to each other. And then when something bad happened, we'd be like, I knew this was going to happen. And we're like, well, why didn't you say it? I'm like, well, why didn't you say it? And so I think listening to your gut, it's such like, it sounds like so woo-woo and whatever, but I bet there's times when everyone who is listening to this podcast has felt, I know this is the wrong thing, but I'm just going to keep doing it. And then boom, blows up in a bad way. So I think that was a huge,
big
huge
thing.
Lesson.
And that's happened multiple times, but I feel like we finally – we have like this value, I guess, and like this way we lead now where it's all in alignment to our hearts and what we actually want. What's the bigger vision? What's the bigger picture? What makes us feel good? And then that's kind of like our guideline now. So it means I feel like everything is slowed down a bit, but it feels better and we enjoy it more. And it's just, it's a nice place to be. Yeah, and I think it's like kind of this recalibration. Yeah. So we were like that and now we're like this and it's this slowly transition. And then I feel like momentum will come back.
Yeah. But the thing is, we got to remember like, why does it need to be busy? Does it need to be fast paced? Is it supposed to feel that way?
Yeah.
Maybe because we are living in more alignment to our hearts, things are flowing and feeling like that more easy. And
it's
like,
so true.
And so like, we actually don't know. Maybe it's going to keep this way and like just not ever come back to that crazy busy hustle, because that was us.
Yeah.
We were all about the hustle, all about get it done now,
and I hate it so much
and it was
now.
Yuck, and it wasn't nice, it wasn't a nice way to live, and we created that.
But the hustle is the big mantra, right? Everyone says you got to hustle and all that sort of stuff, so it seems to
we're
be...
so against that.
Yeah, I am too. Everyone's kind of out there banging the drum of you got to hustle, you got to make it happen, you got to push, and it feels like you're pushing water uphill and it gets away from you. I wanted to ask you about busyness versus business, because it's one thing to be busy, it's another thing to be profitable, right? And you guys you guys have got a wonderful business, but I also know that it's commercially successful. So I wanted to get your thoughts around being productive versus being busy.
Oh gosh. I mean, again, another huge lessons here. We used to say yes to everything. We'd fill our calendars. We would feel like the busiest humans and just running around doing stuff that was not productive, not bringing anything to the business.
Yeah.
It was all about like just going and doing and giving, and like giving is good, but you've got to also be careful that you're not just giving all the time and just being busy giving your time, because then you have no time to actually be productive.
And it was very reactive. Like everything was, the email would come, we'd act on it. So that is busyness. If you do that, if you work that way, you're going to be bloody busy and probably not productive.
Yeah.
I think today, like lots of people look at busy people and they think they're successful. And I think we kind of developed this idea that success means you're busy, but actually it's not. Busyness does not equal profitable, and it does not equal successful in business.
And it definitely doesn't equal happiness and joy.
Yes. As soon as we kind of realized that, our workload slowed down and, you know, our bank balance went up. So that is proof that you don't need to be busy to be successful.
Yeah.
And like it's work smarter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not work
and
harder.
And so now we're just really careful with our time and like where are we spending our time and what equals productive in our business, which is not going to be the same in everyone else's business. So what was taking up time? Time in our inbox. Okay, let's change it. So now we have our VA going through our emails every morning and only putting the emails we need to attend to in an action folder. We don't even go in the inbox. That's our folder. The action folder is our folder. We head into that. There might be 10 emails there for the day instead of 50 or 100. So little things like that have just helped us be so much more productive. Plus on a Friday, every afternoon, we'll reflect on the week. Okay, what did we accomplish? What didn't we accomplish? And then we'll set out the entire next week in our Trello boards. These are the three main tasks we're going to get done next week, and then we're going to break it down into the days. And of course, we always leave space for magic, like space for the unknown and the unexpected, because if you don't leave space for that, then it won't happen.
I love that. That's so really good. You're focusing on those core activities that give you the results that you're looking for rather than being consumed by the noise.
Yeah, and I think a big thing, social media, we used to spend – hours on Instagram looking at hashtags, double tap, comment, comment, comment. And then we'd just be scrolling aimlessly. Who knows what we did on Instagram, how many hours we've spent. One thing we did with our business is that we swap days now. So I'll take Instagram one day, Emma will take Instagram the next day. That was really helpful because before it was both of us on Instagram scrolling
so
aimlessly.
Dum-dums. Another dharma.
So we do that. And we make sure that, you know, only one of us needs to be on social media. And we don't spend all day checking it. We post 3 times. And so the minimum and maybe should be the maximum. We are not perfect. We definitely go on Instagram when we don't need to go on Instagram. But it means that we only need to be on there 3 times a day. And we can check the comments. We can check the likes. We can then post the post. And, yeah, it just makes us a lot more productive.
Yeah, and get it done. I wanted to ask you, because in that conversation you mentioned the word success a couple of times. And, of course, that's a really personal definition for different people. And I did a podcast the other day and I was reflecting on my own journey and I was thinking about internal success versus external success. We tend to judge other people by their external success, you know, what car they're driving, what big flashy house they have, or, you know, all that materialistic sort of thing, or their social media profile and how many likes and followers and how amazing everyone thinks they are on the platform. But I think for me, as I'm getting older, and I'm considerably older than you guys, but I'm probably your parents' age, but one of the things I'm learning as I get older is that internal success, being able to look in the mirror and be pretty content with who I am, is probably the metric that I cherish most. How do you guys define success in your own life, and what are the key elements that make you think that I'm living a rich and fulfilling life?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love this question. I think a main big thing in our business, we're like, was it fun? Was it joy-filled? Then yes, it was a success. And that's not just the big projects. That's every single day, every single hour. Are we feeling joyful, joyous when we do this task? And that has like completely changed the way we look at success. There was a time when we were like, it was very metric driven. It was this much money. We want to make this much this month and this much this year. And it was not joyful at all. It was yuck. It didn't feel aligned with us. And I feel like we weren't as successful even though we reached those goals.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
But now I feel so much more successful because I look at my days and I'm so happy and content.
I think, and that's the word, content. Contentment, that is success. If you're content with your life in all aspects, not just business, it's your relationships, it's your family, it's the small moments of every day. Like if they are magical, I think that is success. And I don't know how, you know, like when you're in the health and well-being world, like you kind of do fall down that spiritual path. And that I'm so grateful for, because it made me realize so much that all the goals I used to have, those materialistic goals, they would never, ever, ever have brought me success and happiness. If you detach from that and you find like the pure essence of what actually brings you the joy and the contentment, and you work towards that, you're guaranteed success. And it might not be $1 bazillion in your bank account, that's okay.
I think the funny thing is we can, if what Emma is saying is true, and I believe what she is saying is true, is that we have the power to change our success just by changing our mindset and choosing to see things in a different way. And I think that is the magic. We have the power to feel as good as we want to feel. It's all a choice. So I think if we choose acceptance, if we choose joy, if we choose gratitude, then you'll look in the mirror and you will feel successful. You will feel content. And I think that is the magic. Isn't that crazy?
I know. It's so cool.
Like the car, that the house, that all these things that, like, I know I grew up thinking, when I grow up, I want a big house. When I grow up, I want to earn this much. When I grow up, I'm going to be married, have 3 kids, and they're going to go to private school. That's what I thought. I thought all that, and I thought that was successful. And that is not what I believe anymore. And that is due to me changing my mindset and all going down yoga.
Yeah, yoga.
Yeah.
It's all yoga.
It's all yoga, really.
Wow. So again, I love that because so for anyone listening, you guys get to choose what success means for you and you get to choose that on a day-to-day basis. And I think you're right. The gratitude piece, I think, is really important. We, as a family, every night we sit around the table and we have the three things that we're grateful for. It's something that we try to teach our kids and it's so nice. And to be honest with you guys, there are some days if you've had a bit of a rubbish day, you got to dig a little bit deep to find the three things. And so sometimes is that my gratitudes, if I've had a tough day, is the sun came out today and the washing got dry or something as simple.
But how good is that?
It's great.
Like, I freaking love it when the sun comes out and the washing gets dry.
I mean, the perfect thing to be grateful for is the air you're breathing. Without it, what would we be?
Exactly. Like, it is so simple. We can always
find something.
Yeah.
Always. In the darkness, there's always light. It's just that the clouds are covering it for a little while, but we all know the clouds pass. We all know this. It passes. We just need to go through it, like you said earlier.
I love that cloud analogy. Can I borrow that? I reckon that's awesome. I will.
We took that from someone.
It's like it's part of like a meditation. I think that we've done before, and how they talk about your thoughts and like they come in like clouds and then they pass through, and it's the same as all situations in life. And that's also why we have to be really grateful for those really high times and those great times, because it's not just the bad times that pass; it's the good times that pass too. So it's like, hang on a second, let's just be really aware and really present and enjoy this moment right now, because that's all that we ever really have, because once it's gone, it's gone. It's a dream. And then let's keep living that way. And life is just going to be even more magical every single day. The more you practice that, the more you are present with your your family, your friends, the stuff that you do, time just seems to extend and doesn't even exist anymore. That's the magic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it seems to me, guys, just listening to you speak, this whole mindfulness has been an important part of your journey, not just in your business, but also, as you said, going from public servant to entrepreneur, it being present, kind of enjoying that moment, knowing that it's the only thing that we've got is right now. It just seems like that's been an incredible factor in your success. Is that a reasonable comment?
Huge. And it's such a thing that needs to be practiced, and you need to be conscious because, you know, we've read so much about being present and being mindful. You want to be mindful. You want to be present. Again, it's the choice. You have to go into this, whatever you're doing, and be like, I'm going to be present. I'm not going to pick up my phone, because there's so many distractions. There's so many things going on in all our brains.
Yeah.
You know, we're anxious about the future. We're worried about what we decided to do from the past. And this bloody phone is connected to us. So it's, you know, every 5 minutes you just want to pick it up. It just happens naturally. So it's like you have to be really conscious to be like, I'm going to chuck this phone a million miles away so I don't see it, mm-hmm. and I can be fully present and therefore actually live my moment, which is my life.
Because in the only moment that life exists is now. And I think that was such a big aha moment for us. Yeah. I remember when someone was, you know, the past is the past. We can't change it. In the future, you know, it doesn't actually exist. And when the future comes, it's now. And we were just like, what? Like, hang on a second. Holy moly, my entire teens of worrying about homework and assignments and then working this public service job of like, wishing my Fridays would happen faster and that my weekends would come faster. I'm literally wishing my life away. When someone said that sentence to us, our eyes just opened and we were just like, whoa, okay. So how we were living wasn't really living. We want to live. And again, it's all in the choice. It's like, do you want to enjoy this moment right now, because that's all we ever have and all we'll ever have. So it means you're choosing to enjoy your life when you choose to enjoy this moment.
And it's like, I think what we now do, which just happened naturally, it's like you look at everything with a sense of wonder. And I think that really allows you to be present, because it's like, oh my gosh, like this conversation is so amazing. Like, mm-hmm. how wonderful I get to connect with these people.
And that this conversation has never happened before, and it's never going to happen exactly this way again. I think that is the most magical thing ever. And you can think of it like a sunset or a sunrise. This sunset is never going to happen again. So you better bloody enjoy every second of watching it. And the sun will set tomorrow, but it's going to be different. It's not going to be exactly the same. So just watch, because things will change.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I wanted to just check in with you around was, we mentioned mindfulness as a success factor for you, and that's obviously imbued through your whole life. What other elements do you think are contributors to your success? What things do you think have led you to your place where you are now?
Oh, do you know what? I think a big one is feeling like you're living your truth to, in alignment to your heart. I think that, to me, that is success, where I'm doing, working on something that I love, that I care deeply about, that I'm surrounded by people and have these deep connections with people who know the real me and who I know them. And it's all just driven from your heart space, I feel. Like that's it. It's living from my heart, living with love and not fear, like not forever being in fear, because I feel like that is how I grew up. I had this very fear-based way of living, worried about everything. And then it changed and then it started feeling better. And it's like, that is success to me. I'm feeling me from my heart.
And the thing is, when you do live from your heart space, when you live your true purpose and you are speaking your truth and what you are passionate about, what drives you as an individual, people are attracted to that. People see that in you and they just want a piece of it because they see your truth. And so they feel like they can share their truth with you. So that, of course, they're attracted to that. It's like light sees light. And I think that is why we've been able to do what we do, because Merrymakers is that for us. It comes from the heart. It's 100%. You can look back on our journey and see in every moment of blog posts, of podcasts, where we've had a change, because we will pretty much just, we have literally shared everything online. You can see the journey, which I think is so magical. But I think another thing that's really helped us in our success is having people who believe in you, not just yourself. I 100% believe that you believing in yourself is the number one. You have to believe in yourself. Otherwise, no one else is going to believe in you. But if you find one, two people that totally are on your side, going to be your cheer squad no matter what, you fall back, they're there to say, hey, it's going to be okay. That has helped us so much. Yeah. And for us, that's our mom and dad. Like, we are the best parents in the whole entire world. No, they have no idea what we do or how we do it. Like, they know what we do, but like, they've got no idea how we do it. So when we have something bad happen, they don't even understand it. So they're like, it's going to be all right. You're always all right. And even just having that little, that one sentence of someone saying it's going to be okay has helped us so many times. I think not being afraid of technology and not being afraid to do something that you've never done before has also been something that has helped us succeed, because we didn't know how to build a blog. We didn't know how to build a website. We didn't know how to make a video. We didn't know about Instagram. We didn't know how to do a story. We didn't know how to write a newsletter, but we did it because we just gave it a try and we Googled it and we read the tutorials. We watched the tutorials. We watched the how-tos, and that's how we made it happen.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, just as a sunset is never the same one day to the next, there will only ever be one Merrymaker Sisters, and we are so grateful to both of you, Emma and Carla, for coming onto our show and sharing your light with us, because one thing that just pops off the microphone really as you speak is your warmth, your kindness, your generosity, your heart, and as I said at the intro, that is just so authentically you. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to come and hear you speak at the podcast event. And it's also one of the key things I know that contributes to your success. And long may that continue. You guys really continue to inspire a whole heap of entrepreneurs. For anyone listening, I would really encourage you to go and check out the ladies' website, themerrymakersisters.com. I can personally vouch for the frittata. It's amazing.
Good choice.
It is pretty good. And I have to tell you guys, I am the world's worst cook, by the way. But everything I've seen and made on your website, pretty easy. So anyone who's a struggling cook like me, head across. It's got to be easy and it's got to be fun.
Yeah.
And so I really want to say thanks so much to you guys for coming and sharing all your wisdom, all your insights, and all your love with our audience. And from us to you, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
So much fun, and we've loved every second.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.